Good morning for the second hour. Welcome to the second hour of the Simmons Car Care Shop Talk Show right here in beautiful Tucson, Arizona. I'm Jerry Simmons, your host, along with me, Mr. Jim Mooney, for all your towing needs in Frontier Towing. Morning again, Jim.
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning,
Hello.
Everybody out there in Cypress. Remember, it's a live call-in talk show, 520-719-1490, 520-719-1490. Remember, I'm on the radio, so that means Super Safe Saturday, folks. Super Safe Saturday. By the way, if you're not in Tucson, Arizona, and you're listening, Super Safe Saturday does extend to other cities. And remember, you got to follow these. This is not a Tucson-only thing. We're not the only people that do this. So this has got to extend out. You know, if you're listening and you're in Georgia, Missouri, wherever, if you're listening on the podcasting us, you know, the Super Safe Saturday applies to you, too. All right. So that means move over or slow down if you see a stopped vehicle. Just as a courtesy. You know, you see the guys out there working on the road, and I know we give road workers a flack because we never think they're doing anything, but then all magically the road's fixed, so they got to do something. You see the traffic barricade guys, get around, walk around, give those guys some room, too. They're just trying to do their job. No drinking and driving, no texting and driving. We all want to not text and drive. No TikToking while you're driving down the road. Don't be looking at your favorite video or Snapchatting or Instagramming or whatever it is you guys do. Stop it. Don't do that while you're driving. Working on your car, remember the jack stands if you're jacking it up. Wheel chocks. I forgot it last hour. Safety glasses. Put your safety glasses on. Always put safety glasses on. You know, the last thing you need is something stuck in your eyeball. Put your keys in your pocket. Disconnect your electrical if you're working on an electrical system. Don't stand in front of a car when it's running. Always stand off to the side and use your hood prop. And one other thing here, Jerry. This is rodeo week, folks. We're having Tucson rodeos coming up this week. So why does that matter to us? Well, on Thursday is the rodeo parade. I don't know, and this ties into my move over, slow down, know where you're going. Okay, folks, the rodeo parade has changed this year because of a train schedule, or there was some excuse I heard, but it starts at Drexel Road at 12th Avenue. So starting on going eastbound on Drexel from 12th Avenue, goes to Nogales Highway, which is the little angled road that actually runs up to 6th Avenue and runs into the rodeo ground, right? So you're talking about maybe 2-3 miles. That road, Nogales Highway, will be closed. If you think you're going to travel down Nogales Highway, which is very busy during the week, Nogales Highway is a highly traveled road, you are not going down Nogales Highway. So make alternate routes. Drexel is busy too. There's a lot of traffic on Drexel. Make alternate route, but you can get around that. You go up or down up to Irvington, which I don't know if I'd really recommend because you're going to be stuck with the parade traffic that's going into the fairgrounds right there at 6th, Irvington, Nogales, right? So you got to worry about that. But so Valencia could be your friend or your enemy, depending on how you want to place it, because everybody else is going to be using it too. But Nogales Highway, so if you're coming to or from Raytheon and you come from the north and you're crossing down Nogales Highway and you go down to the casino, which is right down that way, south of Valencia. If you go down to Empire Machinery down there, if you go down to Raytheon, if you go on down, if you're going all the way down to Sahuarita, that section from Irvington to Drexel is going to be closed. And I say that only because, well, there isn't nothing more frustrating than thinking that you're going to go away and realizing that it's not, that you're going to get turned around. So if you think you're going to go that direction, you're going to add about 20 minutes to your traffic drive because you're going to get routed to another way because the barricade guys from Traffic Aid were out there putting barricades up, and you got turned to another direction, so with everybody else. So I only say that because when you're listening and you're thinking about it, if you don't need to be down there, go to the parade, enjoy the parade. They got parking along the side, or I'm sure there's people that will charge you to park in their yard. Go down there and have a good time at the rodeo, but don't plan on driving that way if you're just commuting. It's a bad idea. Go down to Alvernon. That's not such a great way to go, but at least it's out of the way. So, or use your GPS. Maybe it'll find you a better route than I can. So, I say it because, you know, there's nothing that more that'll make you mad than when you realize, oh, I shouldn't have went this way. So, but if you're going to go to the parade and enjoy it. I just wanted to throw that out there, Jerry, just to make sure that we didn't people didn't forget about it.
Yep. Well, I'd forgotten about it. I know. I used to go in a rodeo parade, used to ride in a rodeo parade. We'd have to get out there and still be dark in order for a 9 o'clock start. And you know, after about 18 years of riding in a rodeo parade, I finally, you know, I said, that's enough. I got stuck in traffic one time and couldn't even get in I changed directions because I thought it was going to be quicker. I couldn't even get my horse trailer and stuff in. I got blocked in traffic. And so I missed that parade, and I said, you know, I think I've did my community service here. You know, it's good to see all the people out there when you're addressing around 200,000 people. And, you know, but still, it was fun to watch. I'd love to watch it, you know. And I can see it on my big screen TV. I can see it just fine. And I do watch it. I watch the parade. I love to watch the parade. I like to watch the rodeo. But you got to get out there to get it. And try to get in that thing on a weekend is almost impossible because they sell out real quick. So you have to do a little plan, try to get to it during the week. They're running slack this week, and so then they have the rodeo parade, but they're already running rodeo out there. So if you can get in to see what's going on, go ahead. But, yeah, that's a lot of fun. You know, I forgot something here. You know, Spectre Minor Road Auto Collision, 4425 West Ina Road. 520-744-4454. A lot of fours involved here. They're excellent body shop over on the west side. They're located at 4425 West Ina Road. And that is behind the Jiffy Lube and the car wash. And go in there. They're absolutely an excellent paint and body shop. If you've got a problem with a wrinkled fender or I need a paint job, they can get it done for you. 744, prefix is 520, 744-4454. And, of course, Mr. Frontier Towing, who tows just about anything. Frontier Towing, 748-520-748-1100. Write it down. Put it in your dash. Put it someplace where you remember it in case you have an emergency. Because having to find a phone number when you've crashed or somebody run into you or something like that is about as close to impossible as anything I've ever tried to do. I have been in a couple of them because I are a little older. I'm a senior. And trying to remember, like, okay, got to get this thing off the road. Got to get it. And then you're scrambling. Okay, so you have a smartphone. You can go in. You can find, you know, Frontier Towing. Okay, good, if you remember Frontier Towing. Half the time, you can't even hardly remember your name because this is a dramatic experience. And especially if there's anybody hurt. I mean, it's bad. You can call 911. You can report it in. I got to get my vehicle off the road. Who do I call? Or, I got to call my insurance agent. You know, it's a job. So write the number down, 520-748-1100, and you'll have it. In fact, write all your emergency numbers down. Keep it on the same piece of paper, and then you won't have to be fumbling through the dash to find that very important piece of paper that you've all forgot. Merle's Automotive. Merle's, and we mentioned Merle's earlier today. Merle's is bigger than just a parts house. I mean, they've got equipment. They can make air hoses. They can make hydraulic hoses. They've got a lot of stuff going for them. They've got equipment. They've got commercial lifts and stuff like this that they can set you up with. They've got excellent counter people. They can find stuff at most of your little stores. Says, I can't find it. It's not available. Yeah, it is. You just got to have the right people looking for it. Merrill'sAuto.com. They've got about 10 places in Tucson. Then they got them scattered out around the street. They got them in Sierra Vista. They got them down in Cochise. That's well here. Let me narrow it down for you. They got them in Morenci. They got it Globe, Casa Grande, Green Valley, and they make a run daily to the big warehouse down south of Jim's place at Frontier Towing. And they're the real deal. They got 18-wheeler. They got foreign parts, domestic parts, 18-wheeler tune-up parts, and a lot of stuff that you're used to maintain and keep an 18-wheeler running. Jim uses them. And so you can get it done at Merrill's Automotive. They've been around for a long time. They're going to continue to be around for a long time because they've got some pretty good additional backing that they actually didn't need. They were just so successful, this place actually bought them. So good place. So stay with it. Lynn's Auto Brokers, 2101 North Stone Avenue, 520-628-7500. And Desert RV. DesertRV.com, LensAutoBrokerage.com, easy to navigate websites. Desert RV specializes in toy haulers. So, and Lens Auto Brokers specializes in just about everything. Go in there and look at their, they've got all the inventory posted on their website, and you can pretty much take a look and find something that you want to take a test drive in. Go down there and talk to them. Take the test drive in and see what it is. So, that works for me.
You know, when you say that about Lens, you know, it's really nice to go down and see those guys. I know there's a proliferation of buying cars on the internet now. Folks, buying car on the internet is not like buying shoes on the internet. Returning a car from the internet, although possible, is not necessarily the easiest thing you're ever going to do. And I know we have this affliction. Oh, I'll just order it, and if I don't like it, I'll just send it back. Yeah, send back a car. It's going to be a little more tough. A lot more work than you think it is. They say it's easy. Trust me, not so easy. A beautiful place like a place like Lens, you go down there, and Jerry made a great point. Go down there and sit in it. Do you have any idea how many cars I've sat in? I've sat in thousands and thousands of cars. Why? Because, well, we see cars every day. I can tell you that there are some cars that I've sat in that are like, this is fantastic. This is really nice. This is really comfortable. The passenger's area is very nice, and then I've sat in some that are the most horrific thing on the planet. Not because they were bad. They were bad for me. And the door panel hit my knee, or there's a door crank in the way, or the seat just wasn't right. Not because the seat was wore out. It was just designed improperly. I just could not become comfortable in this vehicle. Now, Jerry and I can both tell you, if you're not comfortable driving the car that you're sitting in, you're going to be focused on all the things that you shouldn't be. Mostly, you're going to be focused on trying to get comfortable in a car where you're driving down the road, which means you're not going to be looking at the road or anything else. That's a problem. So the beautiful place, a place like Lens, go down there and sit in a car. Sit in it for 15 minutes. Get comfortable in it. We're talking about a major investment. Cars that starting at $50,000. Folks, that's an asset to your portfolio. That's not just a $200, I bought the shoes or whatever I bought for $200. This is a major asset in your life. This is, you know, if you pay your car off, your credit goes up. You don't pay your car off, your credit goes down. These are serious decisions and serious purchases. They should not be taken lightly because, oh, I saw it on the internet, and Jerry's favorite thing is it looked the color I like. You know, that's not the basis to buy a car. Just saying, comfort and functionability are the two top things. If you're forget about the color, Jerry always says this. Forget about the color. You know. If the car is comfortable to you and you can have good visibility and you can see it and you can operate it, you're going to have a much better experience. If you're always fidgeting, you're trying to get around, the car doesn't sit right, the first thing you're going to do, you're going to get up in the morning, you're going to go, oh, God, I hate that car. Oh, I hate that car. Oh, I hate that car. And then you're going to make every reason in the world not to fix the car, not to maintain the car, not to pay for the car, and eventually you're going to lose the car or get rid of the car, or the car is going to break because it's going to retaliate. I know, sounds crazy, but they will. So go to a place like Lynn's, sit in the car, test drive the car, get comfortable with the car, because then you can make a great informed decision. And that's one of the things I like about going over to Lynn's is you can actually – They'll take the time. You want to sit in the car 15 minutes? Sit in the car 15 minutes. You know? Like I said, I've moved hundreds or thousands of cars, and I can tell you that I've looked at cars and I thought they were the greatest thing on the planet. I'm like, man, this thing looks awesome. I really think this would be a great car to have. Get in it, can't see out of it, not comfortable in it. I'm like, wow. Good thing I didn't buy a car like that because that thing was horrible. But that's just my fit to the car. Your fit's totally different than mine, so why do they have different cars? The car that I think is horrible might be perfect for you. Go to somebody like Lynn's, sit in the car, get comfortable in the car, and you'll have a, trust me, your experience will be 1,000% better than ever, anything you can ever think about. Unless you know for a fact that the car you're buying online, you've already sat in it and you're good with it, that's fine. But if you don't get in the car and get comfortable with the car, you're going to hate it. I've had lots of cars that I like, but just saying, it's from experience, that's probably the best recommendation I can tell somebody. Be comfortable in the car you're going to drive. Does that sound right, Jerry?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Another thing, if you're buying a brand-new car and you test drive, and, you know, most of the time they'll have a salesman in there you're going to test drive, and they figure a test drive runs about 8 minutes, something like that. That's not long enough
for nothing.
That doesn't even warm up. That don't even warm up a differential gear loop. And if you're going to drive something, let's say that you're going to buy a 2022, 23, I don't care, Ford, Dodge, whatever you want to buy. And you're going to buy this car, and you're planning on doing a little bit of running. You want to go to L.A., you want to go to Las Vegas, you want to go to Colorado, you want to go, you know, Midwest. You want to go down and take a boat ride down in Mississippi or something. People, you go to a rental car place. That car, don't pay any attention to the color when you're test driving one, because the paint does not change the ride of a car. So what you want to do is go down. If you're getting a Dodge and you want to go down to a rental place, I don't care which rental place you use. I don't have any dog in this fight. And rent you a car for a weekend. Rent it. Go ahead, spend the bucks. Spend a couple of $100 on it for a weekend. Pick it up on a Friday night and take off. Go to Wilcox. Go to El Paso. Go to Phoenix, go to the White Mountains, and see if you can still walk when you get to where you're going and get out of this car. I've seen cars that are absolutely breathtaking, beautiful, and you sit down in it, boy, this is really good. After about an hour and a half in that thing, your legs don't even work. You can't get out of it. I mean, you're just, and if you're a senior, and when you're buying these cars, look for the long range. How long am I going to have this? You know, the average retention on a car is over 12 years now. So if you're going to buy a car, you figure, okay, now right now, you know, I'm only 50 years old. But in 12 years, I'm going to be 62. Am I still going to be able to get in and get out of this car? Is it going to be big enough to service my family? If you're a youngster and you've got babies, 5-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 6-year-olds. I remember having to trade a Mustang in and get a 72 Galaxy 4-door because I had a baby. You couldn't stuff her. She wouldn't stay still long enough for you to get her in a child care seat in the back end of a Mustang. And so that's the things you have to look at. Look for the long range. Go in there and look at it. And I'll stick to my guns. If you buy a pre-owned vehicle, you buy that powertrain, and you buy the service records on it. You buy everything. You get every bit of the information that you can do. And that's another thing I like about when I bought my Honda down at Lynn's, Dana, who is my nephew, but they research everything. They treat you just like they treat me. And that, in fact, they treat you a little bit better. But no, they treat everybody the same. But when I went in down there, my nephew just cut me off at the knees, and he said, "No, you're not getting this one. You're not getting this one. You're getting this one." I'm going, "Okay." So I bought that one. He said, "Aren't you going to test drive it? Did you test drive it?" "Yeah." "Brian drove it. I drove it." "Yeah, that's the reason I'm recommending it." I said, "You're not recommending it. You refuse to sell me anything else but this." And he said, this is what you need." And he was absolutely dead on it. It was just, you know, everything was checked out. It's got so many things on it that he had to actually test them all. So he tested them all, and I'm glad he did, because I don't even know where the buttons are located. But when you're buying a vehicle, one, it's got to be comfortable. It has to be safe. And it's not like the old days. That 72 Ford XL that I had was a nice-looking car. It was big. It was comfortable. It was a gas pig. However, it did what it was supposed to do for that period of time. Now, they come out later model. They started putting airbags in all these things. They started designing the cabin where you sit and your passenger sit to actually fold away for collision. In other words, it'll go down under the car, and it'll leave the cab intact. Okay, that's actually a safer car than that 72. And, I bought my daughter a 66 Thunderbird. That thing is weighed like 5,000 pounds. And I thought, that's pretty cool. You know, that's big enough to where if she gets in a crash, she'll be okay. And then I started doing some exploration on these things. No, not necessarily. That thing is not designed to crash and fold up a certain way. Guess what? Thunderbird went away. And along with the 428 motor it had, and I've been crying ever since. I should have just hung on to that and bought her something else. But no, you buy something, like Jim says, that you can drive and get out of the seat. You figure if you're 60 years old and the average life of a car is going to be 12 years, well, 60-year-olds don't have a lot of patience. If they don't like that sucker, it'll be gone in four. It may be gone in a year. I've got a brother that bought one, and it lasted 3 weeks. Beautiful car, absolutely beautiful car. But it was one of these sports cars. I had a V6 motor in, but it had all the sport suspension on it and stuff. He said, "You can't ride it 50 miles. It hurts your back so bad." He got rid of that. He took a bath in that one. I mean, he just took it. He said, "I don't care. You know, if you can't drive it, you can't get out of it and walk when you get to where you're going, you don't need it. Get rid of it. You know, bite the bullet and get rid of it." And so he just bit the bullet and got rid of it. I'm going, wow. So, yeah, I know you can do it if you have the means to do it, and you just absolutely are not going to put up with it. But you need to rent something, drive it, get it for a weekend, and drive it. Get out on the freeway, go through the towns, go down to Bisbee. Just drive it. Drive it on different roads. You know, you can take anything and run it down a smooth I-10 at 60 mile an hour. I mean, you got it in high gear, but you want to be able to see how it's going to corner, see how it's going to handle, make sure you don't have any blind spots. If you do, make sure you know where they're all located. I got rid of a 70 Mustang Fastback because you couldn't see out of the darn thing. And I love my 69 notchback. I've got a 68 notchback Mustang right now. It don't have blind spots. I mean, it don't have blind spots. Don't even have a mirror on the right side, and it still don't have a blind spot because you can turn your head and see everything. So safety is what you got to pay attention to. If you're buying one, look at the safety ratings. Look at how many different bags they have. My daughter rolled a Honda that I used to have, an 06 Honda. And she rolled that, it's a 96 Honda. And she rolled that, wasn't her fault, but it did roll, slow roll. She said, like rolling down a hill in a barrel. All of the airbags come on. And when I had it towed in, I didn't even have to have it towed in. I should have just went and got it and drove it in. All four doors on that car still operated, and it rolled 360 degrees. So, you know, and the airbags come out, and she did have a little infection in her nose from the propellant from the airbags. And other than that, she was safe as she could be. So that's what I like, okay? So you look safety. Can you drive it? Are you going to be able to drive it in 5 years? And if you'll do that, then and take somebody else with you. Take somebody else with you that says, hey, this black car in the state of Arizona is going to be hot. They say, well, with the air conditioning in it, it's okay. Bull crap. Black is hot. When you get in it, yeah. If you've got an air conditioner, remote start, fired up about 15 minutes before you get in it, then you'll be able to touch the steering wheel and stuff. But no, black is a little hot. You know, get a lighter color. My preference is lighter color. Yours, if you're from back east, you go get black. That's what they have back there, black. And I said, if you live in Arizona, you wouldn't be driving a black one. If you do, you pay the price. But your air conditioning is great. You only have to fry for a little while because your air conditioner is better than it used to be. Okay, fine. But don't buy a car until you test drive it properly. Don't do a jury. Now, the only reason I didn't do a jury is because I had a nephew that did the driving for me. I had Brian, who owns Lynn's Auto Brokers, drove the car. And then, I mean, they'll take care of you. So, yes, that's the reason I refer people to Lynn's Auto Brokers. And they, you know, check the lineups. And I'll tell you another thing, too. They've got the RV, Desert RV. Now, Simmons and Desert RV are going to be sponsored a NASCAR race out here at Tucson Speedway, and that's coming up. Hang on, I'll tell you exactly when it's coming up. Where's my list? Oh, here it is. They'll be sponsoring the Armed Forces Day on May the 18th, presented by Simmons Automotive and Desert RV. And they got the modifieds, the Thunder Trucks, the Pro Stocks, the Hobby Stocks, and the Legends and Bandoleros. So they got a full, that's on May the 18th, and it's sponsored by Simmons Automotive and Desert RV, which is Lynn's. So, yeah, buyer beware.
That's probably the single best advice for buying a car is rent one. And, you know, folks, I'll tell you, I rented a car a few months ago, and it was I go to rent a car, and I'm pretty nondescript when I get a car to rent because I need a car that will get me back and forth, you know. So luckily for me, you know, because I get there, and the guy's like, oh, here we have this. All we got is a luxury. Thanks, guys. Appreciate that upsell, you know. And it was a Volvo. It was a Volvo X60. And I was like, great, a Volvo. And all I could think of was, you know, Alan Case 240, you know, his Volvo 240. He's got like three or four of them. He loves them. I'm like, oh, man, I don't want it. That's all I could think of, you know. And to be honest with you, I had kind of a negative preconceived notion against Volvo cars. Don't know why. I was just like, Volvo. I don't really want a Volvo. All right, fine. I'll take the Volvo. I only got to drive it for a little while. It's going to get me from point A to point B, and it'll be fine. So I got in it, you know, and I'm like, hey, this thing is pretty nice. It's pretty comfortable. The info system, right, you know, the radio, now it's called an infotainment system, but the radio and the air conditioning was really user-friendly. I didn't have to friggin' read the manual how to use it. It worked really well. I could navigate it with very easily. The car was comfortable. I could see out of it. And I'm gonna tell you, after I drove that thing, I drove it for 3 days. It was probably one of the nicest cars I've driven in a long time. And I was like, wow, I would buy one of these. Based on the fact that I drove it for 3 days and I put probably 300 miles on it, it was a nice car. It had good visibility. It rode nice. It's a Volvo. I mean, it has good. The one thing that you can say about Volvos is they're safe. If there's anything you want to talk about a Volvo, they're safe. So that's all. They always have that going for them. But this was just a really nice, comfortable car with really nice features. And I was, and it really took me. It caught me off guard because I was already when I got the car, I was already in the mindset this is going to be a horrible experience. I'd already convinced myself that it was going to be a horrible experience, and the car talked me out of it. So when Jerry says go rent a car, even if you don't think it's the car you want, rent one anyways, because you might find, like I did, that horrible experience that you're expecting, because you're so sure, I'm so sure it's going to be bad, that it really wasn't, it was really very good. Had I went into it with a little bit different perspective, maybe I wouldn't have been so impressed, but it was nice because I was able to, my mind was changed based, just solely based on the product features and the handling, the driving, and the comfort of the vehicle, and no other information. I myself was able to make all these decisions without anybody telling me anything about it. So, because the guy who rented the car, he's like, dude, here's the keys. It's over. He points to it. It's over there. Which one? Hit the button. You'll see. You know, I mean, it's 100 feet away. Just hit the button. It'll tell you which one it is, right? Hit the clicker. It's over there. Just hit the clicker. You'll find it. You know, I got other people to take care of. I ain't got time to walk you down there. So, but yeah, it was a nice vehicle. And so the point is that renting the car is a super great way to determine if something's going to work for you or not. Now, that being said, if you're going to rent a 2022 or 3 or 4, you know, a 2012 is probably not going to be the same as a 22. So just be aware of that.
No.
But that gives you, but like when you go to Lynn, you get the option to do, so it is a 12. You get the option to test drive it. I want to drive this. So, but going, you know, sometimes we forget that car manufacturers have some really good features, and even though we have a preconceived notion, it might be something that we really like and really enjoy, just, you know, and we overlooked it without even giving it a chance. So sometimes be open to you when you go. Somebody might have a good suggestion. So that's why I say it's a really great idea.
In 2012, General Motors out in Impala had a little V6 in it. My brother bought one from a rental agency when they turned it over. I went back on vacation. Me and my brother took off and went to South Carolina, see my sister about 250 miles out. And we got 34 mile per gallon at 65 miles an hour with air conditioning on. And that was in a full-size Impala with a little V6 in it. And we got to talking about it. He said, why didn't GM put this out that you can get this kind of fuel economy from this? Because it doesn't show anywhere. And I said, well, fuel economy, a lot of it's based on drivers' habits. And do they pump the accelerator like most people do? I don't. I use a cruise control when I've got options to use a cruise control and leave it alone. And cruise control people, if you're doing it when you got inclement weather like snow or rain or something, don't you dare use that cruise control. You take that cruise control off, you put it in a trunk. You know, that's a figure of speech, of course. But don't use a cruise control when you got inclement weather. You need to control 100% because the cruise control, it doesn't have the AI, artificial intelligence, to do it. And even if it did, I'd still take it off because I don't trust it yet. But
or at all.
Just take
it off. Just take it off.
Go ahead,
Drew. Right. Just take it off. Just take off the cruise control. It's the funniest stuff. You'll be on ice. It'll be slipping and spinning, and you know, the car will try to maintain a speed and with no traction. So all of a sudden, the thing's going 70 miles an hour. It's just like, wait. So yeah, it's don't do it. Just don't do it. That's a really good suggestion, Jerry. Just don't do it.
We forget to say these things. I mean, you know, look at it. But I'm sure that, you know, Javier or over Spectrum will tell you, oh, yeah. But that driving in inclement weather, even on the freeway where you got water puddling on the side, nope. You get out of that cruise control so you've got better control of it. And then the other thing that you've got to watch with that is the tires. Do you have the right tires? Are they shedding the water? Water does not compress. That's the reason we have holes out there right now big enough to bury a Honda in or whatever else you're driving. I hit one the other day. I don't know how deep that son of a gun was, but I could have swore my undercarriage suspension actually hit the ground. And but since then, I noticed somebody else reported it, or one of the guys downtown that's responsible for keeping it up must have hit it because it's been repaired. But that was the deepest one. But if you get the rain that we had, which I'm glad we did, because the cactus in the desert started looking like potato chips. I mean, it really swiveled up. Now it looks good. So thank you. However, the holes in the road, when you've got cracks in the asphalt, the water goes into cracks in the asphalt, and then a 5,000 or 3,500-pound car hits it, and it compresses. It actually pushes the water down. Water does not compress. It implodes. So you go down, one car hits it, traffic, going to work in the morning, then you got about 1,000 cars hitting this thing, just a little bit, implodes a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. Heck, when you get ready to go home at night, you got a hole big enough to bury a watermelon in, and it's there. Now, if it's still raining, you don't know how deep it is. And if a traffic is heavy and you can't see it well enough to dodge it before the traffic gets there because you can't get out of your lane, you get out of your lane, that's when you have to call Frontier Towing to come and get you. And but it is amazing at how deep these holes are. So people, if you're driving them and you hit one of the things, depends on what speed you're driving. And most of the time you're only driving about 35, maybe 40 miles an hour. And then up jumps the devil, one of these little holes that wasn't there last week. And you drive the road every day and it had been there for since you've been driving it. But now it's there and it's got a little bit of water over the hole. And you just assume it, oh, it's not a hole. It's just a little bit of water on it because it never has before. And then all of a sudden you hit that thing and it's like crashing. So, yeah. Nasty, just nasty. So if you do hit a hole like that, it's time to get front end alignment checks. You can get them done at Parker Automotive out on Speedway, 5101 East Speedway. Got a big old machine out there. Phone number is 520-323-1960. 520-323-1960. Scott is the serviceman. Mike Parker is one of the owners. Family owned and operated business, excellent full-service auto repair center. As Scott will tell you, just do a little bit of maintenance all time. I don't mean you have to take it into a garage every day. Just do a little bit of maintenance all time and stay ahead of your maintenance, and you will save a load of money, and you will have a heck of a dependable vehicle. And that's from Scott at Parker Automotive. And then you've got, of course, Mr. Test First Don't Guess over on the west side, and he's located at 3611 West Steiner Road behind the little parks house over there in the Bookman's Plaza on the north end of the or west end of the plaza. And I was talking to Brian last week, and he said, people, if you get to a problem where you have to have a reprogram on these late model cars, don't touch it. Take it to somebody that's a professional. Because, one, they're not like they were when they first come out. You can't just plug these fancy machines into them and even get them to work right. You've got a key set. You've got so many things that has to do with them. Most of the resets that they get coming in there now are when they're having a body shop work on them, not the big body shops, the little body shops where they're just doing them, you know, fix it up. Then they've got to reset everything, and you can't get it to reset. But Brian said, don't even attempt it. Don't even attempt it. Save yourself a headache. Just go in and have somebody knows what they're doing. Redo it. What used to be done in 10 minutes is taking up to 2.5 to 3 hours now. I'm going, whoops. So that's one thing to keep in mind. But automotive specialist phone number is 520-572-1734. And then Brian's personal cell is 520-237-3852. And that's another full-service repair center, independent repair center on the west side of Tucson. that has the big fancy machines, alignment machines, can do the electric stirrers and all of that, four-wheel suspension, all of that. And then you take it to Simmons, Simmons Drive Shaft Specialist. That's exactly what it is, Simmons Specialty Shop. It's a drive shaft specialty shop. If it's rounded, it circulates on the bottom and it's designed to propel your vehicle. We can probably fix it, modify it, or do anything else it needs to it. That's the reason it's called a specialty shop. But it goes along with Simmons Automotive, 4x4, and Automotive. And that's on the other side of the building. And we also have the big machine, the fancy alignment machine. And we have all the equipment that we need to circulate, and we've been in business. This is our 50th year in business, and I'm only 49, so I've been around a long time. Shut up, Jim. what we're regurgitating out to you. Now, this morning, we've covered a lot of stuff. We've covered a lot of stuff in the first hour on things that you want to pay attention to. Now, I noticed that we didn't put out the rabies and the other little hiccups that you have when you're riding a bicycle or you're hiking early in the morning. You got to watch your rabies, put it out on the first hour, and only because Mark, who is head of the public relations for Game and Fish wildlife officer, I listened to him Wednesday, and he was telling us the stuff about that you have all these bobcats and javelina, a couple of javelina bites in a couple of days or within a week. And then you got the biggest carriers are foxes, skunks, bobcats, and javelina is what's been showing up. So, you know, you have to pay attention. And I recommend to you, if you're going to be walking out there and you're not going to carry a gun or anything to protect yourself, go down to one of your stores and buy you, and people will say, oh, you get the pepper spray. No, save your money. Get about a 16-ounce can of wasp spray, you know, for wasps. And that's a big can. You can carry it in your hand. It doesn't cost hardly anything. And it will squirt for 22 foot. You just hose down whatever's trying to attack you. It won't kill them, but it's awful hard to bite somebody if you can't see, and that's exactly what the results you want out of it. So you just get your can of wash spray and a little holder and stick it in like a water bottle, and but that's good for people too. And you know that's not lethal, but it will sure slow somebody down. And as I say, it's not lethal. It's not lethal for most people. It could be if they have a respiratory problem or something like that. I'm not saying use old people. I'm saying try to keep rabies off of your back. But that is that critical on those rabies. If you see an animal running around in circles, these are some of the symptoms that you need to look at. And this is because I'm in search and rescue, and these things can pop up at any time. One is the bees. The killer bees. You got a killer bee, you've got the best thing in the world hanging on your waist, killer bee. If they look like they're unstable, they're stumbling around, or if they're running around in circles, just keep turning circles. And they also have foaming at the mouth. That's for real. That was one of the original things that they said. You see that on TV. Oh, he's foaming at the mouth, let's have rabies. And bobcats carry it, foxes carry it, skunks carry it, and you need to be aware of it. When you're walking at night or early in the morning before daylight, please be careful. Be careful. Carry a big flashlight so you can keep scanning the area that you're walking through. Don't assume, because if they're on the side of the road, you by driving a car, you know you can't see them until you're almost on top of it. Well, you're walking and you're not moving and you're not inside of a closed vehicle, so pay attention. That's my public relations thing. You know, compliments of the guy that scared me to death, Mark, from Game and Fish. So do that and you'll be happy. All right, what else we got, Jim?
The flashlight's a good idea anytime. Yeah. Surprisingly, you can, you know, if you're carrying a flashlight, well, one, you can see where you're going. But two, you can flag somebody down, or you can alert somebody that you're walking. Because just like daytime running lights on a car, folks, if you got a flashlight, somebody, you know, if somebody sees it. Now I know you got one on your phone. Not as good as a real one. I mean, they work. Don't get me wrong. I use mine all the time. But if you got one that you carry in your hand, much more effective. Especially those new ones, the new LED ones. But you know, the with 18,000 lumens. Trust me, you can see a long ways from that. And in daylight, in daylight as well, you can see a lot. If you're walking, even in brush, somebody can see the light because it's so bright. So it's a really good idea when you have those. Plus, even if you're shining at animals, you know, most nocturnal animals don't like light, blinding light in their face, day or night. And if you're, you know, and if you see something, I can't say that for rattlesnakes. Never tried shining a light at a rattlesnake. See a rattlesnake, I can't go the other direction. I don't really want
you just need to see them more than they see you.
That's right. I you know, see a rattlesnake. I kind of just walk the other way. I don't really want to get him all, you know, riled up. I don't want him coiled up, you know, thinking, oh, I'm 5 feet away and he can't get me when he can bounce 20, you know. So, because those things really can launch, and you know, I don't need him stuck in the side of my thigh. So, I just leave him alone. But you know, for the most part, if you're, you know, having a light with you can be very helpful. You never know where you're going to be, and you don't know what you're going to do, and you might need a light just for a shadowy area. So, you know, that's if you're walking or biking or whatever, it's a flashlight is a really good idea to have day or night. So that's I will say that's one of probably the best things I've ever heard. So we'll stick with that, Jerry.
Okay, makes sense to me. Makes sense, total sense to me. You know, in the wintertime now, it's good. I got a couple of things I want to hit real quick because I noticed that we've almost these 2 hours have buzzed by this morning. Wintertime, people are going to snow. They're going up mountains. They're going up Mount Lemmon. Everybody's driving and stuff like that. Make sure that you check your belts and hoses. That car needs to be, if you haven't had it winterized means you take it in, you have it inspected. Those guys are going to look at belts. They're going to look at the hoses. They're going to look at everything on this car. They're going to look at your brake system because, one, if you lose a belt, you can lose a lot of stuff. One, your engine ain't going to run worth crap because all you got is probably one belt. If you blow a radiator hose, you're going to blow this stuff out. Now, keep in mind, you can be driving in the snow in cold weather, and that's what we're trying to protect you from. The belts and the hoses need to be changed around 4 to 5 years. So it used to be Gates belts said Goodyear said you're going to change them every 4 years, all right, depending on the driving. It's hard to predict because everybody lives in different conditions. So, you know, you need to have a professional take a look at that belt to see what kind of cracks you have in a belt. And they say, oh, if you have two little cracks and a serpentine belt, you can all go ahead and drive it. No, if I wanted cracks in my serpentine belt, I would have ordered it that way from a manufacturer. And if cracks are okay, why doesn't a new belt that you put on there come with cracks in it? So, no. If it's got cracks in that darn belt, you can change it. If you want to keep that worn-out belt for a backup, that's entirely up to you. I recommend you get another belt, put it under your seat, carry it with you, because when that serpentine belt goes out, you're going to be in trouble. And if you don't know how to change a serpentine belt, that's fine. But they do have a special tool for them that you can buy at Merle's, and you can put it in your car, and you can get a little belt, and then you might have somebody like a Jim from Frontier Towing or Simmons come by, something like that, that knows how to use that tool, and we can change it and put you back on the road. That is mainly when you're out of town. I lost a serpentine belt in Sierra Vista one time. That was nasty, and my belt, wasn't nothing wrong with the belt, but the pulley went out, the little idler bearing. And when it went out, it just kind of unloaded everything. And then, of course, it tore the belt all pieces in. But, you know, and then I was fortunate enough to know how to change a belt. And then we had a, I think it was a Walmart or something down in Sierra Vista that I wound up going in and getting one. But, yeah, it quit. And then another time on a 63 diesel, I had one, and it quit. The belt actually, the idler froze, the belt puked. And that I had to have towed in because it, everything just stopped. I mean, you didn't have nothing. And used to, if you have an old 55 Chevrolet and you had a belt pop off of it, a V-belt or something like that, back when the women used to wear nylons, you could take a nylon, roll that thing up, tighten the knot, run it around there, tighten the knot. And believe it or not, it'd run the water pump. It wouldn't run the power steering, but it'd run the water pump. And at least you wouldn't fry your motor. It's going to drive like a bulldozer, but anyway. That was back in the good old days when the speed limit were really, I mean, it wasn't a speed limit because the road wasn't good enough to drive over about 30 miles an hour. But no, take care of your vehicles. Take care of your vehicles. They have a inside your owner's manual, which as Jim would say, very boring. Inside your owner's manual, you go to the severe duty of your owner's manual on how to maintain your car in Tucson, Arizona. And a lot of you people out on the in the mid that can actually get this program, when you've got snow up to the windshield door, the door locks on the windshield, and that thing is locking down, you might want to consider the severe duty only because you have the heavy rain and the extreme cold that we don't have. But what you don't have is that dust that we have here, unless you live in a dust bowl or something like that. But just remember, the weather has a mind of its own, and you just have to adjust to it. You know. But if you're going to run dirty oil, or if you're going to change the oil and not run a winter weight oil, when you go to a 5W30, that's five winter. That's what the W is. It's a winter oil, and then you can use it in the Midwest and get it down. I use full synthetic. It pours at 30 degrees below zero, the same as a paraffin base does at 30 degrees above. That's a 60-degree swing. I love synthetic fluids. I run in everything I own, including my tractors. So, and for the ones of you that are thinking about, oh, Jerry said you could run it in your car. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. And I also know that you have a oil flush that you need to run. If you got over 30,000 miles on your car and you're planning on switching synthetic, use the oil flush. You know, they've got it at Amber's Oil Corporation and Brian Fuller has an inventory of. Simmons have an inventory of it. But get a good engine flush. Follow the instructions on the engine flush to the nth degree. Follow the instructions. Don't try to flat rate it. Oh, I'll just throw it in there in 5 minutes and be fine. No, you follow the instructions on it and get it done right the first time. Then you won't have to do it second time. Then flush that oil out, and then you can put it in full synthetic. Full synthetic is an extended drain interval than most of your paraffin bases. So what you want to do is put a full synthetic in it, put a extended drain interval filter in it, which is going to cost you more money than a regular filter, but put it in there because it'll save you money. And then at 6 months, if you've got a 12-month, 25,000-mile like Amsoil has, at 6 months, you just pull the filter off, dump the inside ingredients back into the engine, put the filter back on the bottom, and then top it off with what you may have lost when you pulled the filter off and then recheck it. I've run that stuff for 14,000 miles, sent it in, and it only had 1 year, 25,000 on it. But I was just using regular oil. And I sent it in to Arizona Laboratories up in Phoenix, had it tested. It says, okay, for continual use, recheck in 6,000 miles. It had 14,000 miles on a regular oil change. Keep in mind, there's other little things that control how long engine oil will last in a vehicle. One, fuel delivery system. Is it right or is it flushing the engine out? Dirt. Have you got, like Jim was saying earlier about the air system on them, is the air filters clean? I mean, everything plays when you're trying to get extended wear out of a car. The environment is a big boy. That's a big boy. That's a big, just a huge one. Remember, it takes air, electric, and compression to run a vehicle. It takes fuel delivery. Got to put it in there with the right air mixture. And it takes spark in order to fire a car. So, anyway, yeah, we're about run out of time, Jim. Anything you want to put on that one before we shut her down?
Well, you're right. The air system and the fuel system need to be maintained, and the oil. Change your oil, folks. When in doubt, change it. I know it sounds like the craziest thing, but if you don't know how long it's been, just change it. Maybe you might have changed it too soon, but your car will love you for it. Trust me. Of all the things that you probably could do, changing your air filter, changing your oil, change your oil, lube the chassis. You know, oil and lubes are the lifeblood of a car. And I know that somebody will say, oh, it can go, 10 million miles. Well, it can. At the end, it's not going to be a very good product. So if you're unsure because you don't know, just change it. You might be mad because it costs more than what you think it should cost. If the thing to do is just stay on top of it, folks. Just stay on top of it. And so now we're down to about a minute, Jerry.
Yeah.
Everybody have a great weekend. Don't work too hard out there. Don't drink and drive, and don't text and drive.
Yeah, you're gonna have a busy weekend trying to drive with the rodeo traffic and all the people in town. You're not going to be able to rent a car this weekend because they're all gone because of the rodeo.
That's right.
So. Until next week, be safe, and we will talk to you then. God bless. Goodbye.
All right, bye-bye, everybody.